The marketplace is empty, no more traffic in the streets. All the builders' tools are silent, no more time to harvest wheat. Busy housewives cease their labors in the courtroom, no debate. Work on earth has been suspended as the king comes through the gate. Oh, the king, he's coming. The king, he's coming. I can hear the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king, he's coming. The king, he's coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Happy faces line the hallways, those whose lives have been redeemed. Broken homes that he has mended, those from prison he has freed. Little children and the aged, hand in hand stand all aglow. Who were crippled, broken, ruined, clad in garments white as snow. I can hear the chariots rumble, I can see the marching throng. The flurry of God's trumpets spells the end of sin and wrong. Regal robes are now unfolding, heaven's grandstand is all in place. Heaven's choir is now assembled, they start to sing Amazing Grace. 'Cause the king is coming, the king is coming. I can hear the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. Oh, the king, he's coming. The king, he's coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Will the king, he's coming. The king, he's coming. Praise God, he's coming.
Thank you, Brother Lassiter. And that's a blessing, is singing about our blessed hope. Now, when the Lord comes back, He'll come back in the clouds. And all that have received Him as Savior will be called up to meet Him in the clouds and will forever be with the Lord. During that time, we'll be with Him in heaven, and the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place, and the judgment seat of Christ will take place. And then, while on at that time in heaven on earth, the tribulation and the great tribulation will take place. That'll last for 7 years, and at the end of the 7 years, then He'll come back on a white horse, and His saints with Him, and He'll touch down on this old earth. The battle of Armageddon will take place, and the Bible says, after He's dealt with Satan, the false prophet, and the Antichrist, then he'll be there on the Mount of Olives, and it'll split asunder. He'll come back in again to the city of Jerusalem through the Eastern Gate. The Eastern Gate's boarded up now. It's bricked up. That was the gate Jesus came through His last time coming into Jerusalem. He came on a donkey. He came as the Prince of Peace, the Savior. But when He comes through that gate the second time, it'll be on a white horse, and He'll come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh my, what a wonderful time we have to look forward to. Open your Bible. Open your Bible to Galatians chapter 1. I want you to listen very carefully to our message this morning. As pastor of this congregation, I have a responsibility to warn against heresy and false teachings. And what I'm going to do this morning is to warn with the same warning that the Apostle Paul warned new converts in Galatia with 2,000 years ago. My message will not be politically correct this morning. But since when have I give a flip about political correctness? Truth is truth. And my job is to please the one who called me, not the politicians of our day. If you have found your place in Galatians chapter 1, stand with me, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1. The Bible said, by the way, are you ready for Him to come, Jesus to come again? You're not ready if you have not accepted the gospel message, the gospel story, as the only means for forgiveness of our sins. The gospel is the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection as complete and forever payment for our sin debt. And until we accept that, we're not saved. Until we accept that, we're not ready for Jesus to come. Until we've accepted that, we're still lost and in our sins, no matter how religious we may appear. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Paul is saying, I marvel that you have left the gospel of Christ so quickly to accept another gospel. Then he says in verse 7, which is not another. The gospel is the good news. The good news that God has provided salvation for sinners through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the gospel story. And there is not another good news. If there was another gospel, there would be another way of getting to heaven. But there is not another way for sinners to be saved. He said, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And then I want you to look at verse 8 and 9 for our text today. And I want you to notice how God, in His all-knowing, in His foreknowledge, knew that in our day there was going to be someone come along and offer another gospel and would tell us that this another gospel was given to them by an angel from heaven. The Bible says in verse 8, but though we, Paul said, if I preach anything to you other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which you've received, that we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach unto any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Father, help me this morning as I bring this message. It won't be a popular message, but it'll be as true to the Word of God as any message I can humanly and in the power of the Spirit preach. It is truth. And whether man will accept it or not, depends upon his relationship to the God of this world or his submissiveness to the Holy Spirit of God. Help us to realize that the God of this world is not Jesus nor Jehovah. It's the devil. And he is trying to pervert the good news that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and rose again with salvation free and forever for anyone who will accept him as their Savior. Now I'm asking for liberty and power to preach this message. I ask you to help me to be very accurate. Help me to be very clear in my statements. And Holy Spirit of God, would you use it to awaken in us the need of making sure that our trust and faith is in Jesus Christ and him alone as Savior of our soul. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to save every unsaved person in this building and listening to my voice. And I'll thank you in advance for all you shall do in Jesus, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You may be seated. Recently on TV, I saw a very deceptive commercial about another gospel, or as they stated it, another testament. They pointed out how we needed to know and read about Jesus Christ. And they stressed how important he is to each and every one of our lives. In this commercial, they told that we could read about the life of Jesus in the gospel contained in the New Testament. However, they went on to tell how that the New Testament gospels do not contain all that we need to know about Christ, so they offered another gospel, another testament. Their other gospel or testament is nothing but the Book of Mormons. It's heresy. It is phony baloney from Moroni, the angel that Joseph Smith said gave him the pillows with the Mormon Book of Mormons written on it. I say to you, it should be avoided and rejected by all Bible believers at all cost. And it should be rejected by all who desire to know salvation as their own personal possession. Listen to what God's Word tells us about another gospel. Paul said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ. You've been removed to another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Now I don't know how much more clear God's word can get. And I don't know how much more clear God can be in stating the fact of the heresy of the other testament or other gospel. He even prophesied in Scripture 2,000 years ago that someone would present another gospel given to them by an angel so-called from heaven. The Mormon religion is a cult. It's a cult because of their heresy concerning the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the way of salvation. It is not New Testament Christianity. It never has been. It was not when I started out preaching 45 years ago almost. And it's not New Testament Christianity today. However, today with the new attitude and political climate and political correctness, they don't want you to say anything negative about heresy today. But heresy is heresy. And the job of the preacher is not to submit to the pressure of the world, but to cry out truth and reveal heresy where it may come. Listen again. Listen. It is precisely such heresy as presented by this other gospel that Paul is writing about in the epistles to the Galatians. You see, after Paul had led many to Christ and established churches in the area known as Galatia, he continued on to other cities in his missionary journey. And Judaizers came along. These were Jews who believed in a works type of salvation. And they came into these new churches and to these new Christians shortly after Paul had left and confused them by telling them that they had to be circumcised and keep the Old Testament law in order to be saved and stay saved. Paul heard this terrible news and writes the epistle to the Galatians to refute this heresy. And he calls their false message another gospel, a perverted gospel, and declares that it is a lie. Listen again to the severity of Paul's message to these confused Christians. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. God foresaw this heresy and warns us about it in the Scripture. Now I want to point out three important thoughts concerning the gospel of Christ as compared to another gospel. Number one, there is only one gospel of Christ. And that gospel of Christ is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They contain the gospel message. The gospel is defined for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Paul is saying, if you don't believe the gospel message, then your belief is in vain, worthless. Now here it is. For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scripture. I say to you, there is only one gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not come to this earth to present one, two, three, or four ways of salvation. The Bible says neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is one gospel story. There is one good news story. And that good news is the Son of God, the virgin born Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, took upon Himself the realm role of flesh, lived on this earth for 33 years, was tempted in all points as we are tempted, yet without sin. He willingly went to the cross, was crucified, allowed God to pour out the wrath of God against our sin upon His sinless Son, and Jesus died in our place that we might have life everlasting. There is only one gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good news that Jesus died for our sins. It's good news that He was buried and arose the third day, just like prophesied in the Scripture. The Greeks said, give us a sign. Jesus said there's not going to be a sign given except that of Jonah and the whale. How that Jesus, like Jonah, was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And at the end of those 3 days and three nights, as Jonah came out of that whale alive, Jesus is coming out of the earth alive, being declared to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead, with free and forever salvation available to all who have put their trust upon Him. Oh my. It's good news that we have a Savior who has provided a complete salvation, not a work salvation. Now, salvation is free to us, but it costs God mightily, and it costs Christ. You see, Jesus did for us what we could not do. He paid the price that we could not pay. He's made available to us a gift none of us deserve. And that's the gift of everlasting life through His suffering and dying for us. He's provided a complete, a free, a finished salvation for anyone who receive Him as Savior. No wonder Paul declares in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I'm not ashamed. First off, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Secondly, I don't need another gospel. I have truth. I have Christ. I have the Savior. He is sufficient. He is complete. He is my all in all. In Him is my hope. In Him is my life. In Him is my trust. Paul wants us to know that the work of salvation has been complete and is available to anyone who will believe upon Jesus Christ as Savior. See, I'm not nearly as interested in spending all my time on the other gospel as warning you about it and telling you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wants us to know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What do you get from another gospel? Anathema, accursed. He wants us to understand that salvation comes to any sinner when that sinner believes upon Christ as his Savior. Paul wants us to understand that our salvation is based on the power of God through the gospel and not the works of man. It is a gift we receive, not a work we perform. Secondly, Paul declares that any other gospel is a false gospel. And it offers absolutely no hope of salvation for sinners. Paul declared that another gospel in verse 7 of Galatians 1 is a perverted gospel. That's God's words, it's not mine. He says, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The Bible clearly tells us that there is one God. There's only one faith. That faith is that body of truth which we believe as God's children. There is faith that comes from God that makes it possible for us to believe and trust in God. But the faith is that body of truth that God has given us to believe about God, about doctrine, about salvation, about eternity, about the hereafter, heaven and hell. The Bible clearly tells us that there's one God, one faith, one body of truth. It does matter what you believe. And if what you believe is not based from the plain teachings of the apostles in this book, you've got heresy. My opinion and your opinion does not count. I can't tell you over 45 years how many people have said, "Leave me alone, preacher. Me and God has our deal. I'll leave Him alone. He'll leave me alone." And I tell them, you don't have that deal with God. God doesn't make deals like that. The only deal God will make is that if you'll accept His Son as your Savior, He'll forgive your sins and save your soul are without Jesus, you'll go to hell forever and ever and ever. That's Bible. That's a Bible deal written down in the Word of God and preserved forever and forever. And I say again, the Bible declares that there's only one salvation. Going to heaven's not like taking a military exam. You've got a multiple choice of A, B, or C. Now, you have only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. And God has said it Himself in the Word, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus said it when He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Me. I believe the Bible. I believe the gospel, not another gospel. Mormonism believes that God was once a man and that man can become a god. Now that's not my statement, that's theirs. They do not believe that man received a corrupted nature from Adam. What Jesus was, we are, and what Jesus became, we can become. That's what their teaching is. Well, Jesus has always been God and became a man. He did not become God. He's always been God. And I have never been God, and I never will be God. I am a sinner saved by grace, just like you are. If you're saved and on the merits of grace and faith in Jesus Christ, we become children of God by faith, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, but I'll never be a God, and neither will you. They believe that Christ is a son of God and every other man is a son of God. They believe that Jesus had a physical father. That's heresy. They believe that Christ is coming again to America, to an American Jerusalem, Salt Lake City, Utah. And a split off of that group believes it's somewhere in Missouri. Misery. Mormonism is a do-it-yourself religion. Salvation is a process. Christ died for sins past and you must do the rest yourself. This is purely a work salvation, is not a salvation that Christ purchased for sinners. I would hope that everyone here rejects the other gospel and put your trust in the Christ of the gospel. However, I can say to you that some of you here today have devised and designed your own other gospel. You have not accepted Mormonism's other gospel, but neither have you accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, yet you claim to be religious. What are you basing your hope on? Let me tell you plainly that the Bible tells us that without Jesus as our Savior, without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as our hope and object of our faith, we cannot be saved. That means we're lost, no matter how religious we are. Furthermore, you cannot be saved until you accept the one and only way of salvation through Jesus Christ. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by Me. Let me say thirdly that the Word of God tells us plainly what the future is for all who accept another gospel. Verse 8 and 9 uses the word accursed. The Greek word is anathema. It means to bind under a great curse. It means to be consigned to eternal hell and judgment without any hope of ever escaping. That's the future of those who choose another gospel. Oh, but the hope we have in the gospel of Christ is life everlasting, forgiveness of sin, heaven to look forward to, and a life worth living while we're here on this earth. If you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then that anathema is also your future. You don't have to wait to wonder if you'll make it. You're not going to make it except to hell. The Bible says without Jesus, you are condemned already. You are under the anathema because you've not believed on the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior and for your salvation. Anathema is your only future if you live your life without the gospel of Christ, the hope that's in Christ, the one who loved us and died for our sins. I must conclude by asking a couple of questions. Are you lost today? You have not accepted the one and only good news that can assure your salvation. Then yes, you are lost today. You say, preacher, I don't know for sure I'm saved. Then you ought to make it sure. Well, I hope I am. Hey, there's no such thing as a hope-so salvation. It's a no-so salvation. To say I hope I'm saved is like saying I hope I'm married, but I don't know. I promise you, there's not been a day in 50 years of my marriage I haven't known that I'm married. Brother Zach, do you know you're married? Kind of thought he might. Brother Garner, you know too, don't you? There's not a person in here that's married that don't know it. And there's not a person in here that's saved that does not know it. See, I remember when I stood with my bride at the altar and said, I do. I remember when I knelt at the altar and said, I do to Jesus and accepted Him as my Savior. Have you? Have you? Without Jesus, what hope do you have? No hope. Anathema is your future. Oh, why would you wait for eternity like you are? Why would you gamble with your soul another day? Why don't you come and trust Jesus, the one who loved you while you were yet a sinner and died for you on that old rugged cross? Are you even concerned about your soul? Are you even concerned that you have been deceived with another gospel that offers no hope but only condemnation and hell? Oh, dear soul, your greatest need and your only hope of salvation is to come to Jesus Christ by faith and accept Him today as your Savior. I did. I did over 55, right at 55 years ago. Now, I want you to know I've never been disappointed with Jesus. I've never lived in doubt and uncertainty after I settled it with Jesus. Why don't you trust Him today? Why don't you invite Him into your heart today? Why don't you turn away from the other gospels, the other religions, the other things that offer no hope, and come to Jesus Christ, who is our hope and who is our blessed hope. The one we look for. The one who will come again soon for His children. Father, that's our message this morning. Lord, again, would You use it in our hearts and our lives.